Good morning.
Father, we just ask you to invade our hearts right now. Every place that we have judged ourselves, every place that we have been critical of our own lives, we ask you to forgive us. I ask your mercy and your grace all over this day as you teach us a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to the third week of our Kingdom Fruitfulness series. The last couple weeks, Pastor Roger has been speaking to us about relationship. He spoke to us at first about our relationship with the Holy Spirit and how that creates fruitfulness in our lives. He spoke to us about our relationship with key people, that God brings in key people in key moments of our lives to create and mature us towards our identity and our purpose. Today, we're going to pick up right there where he left off last week. Before we talk about that, I just wanted to break down this idea. I grew up in the church, and I'm guilty of using Christianese, words that only people with pews in their lives are used to. So what do we even mean when we talk about kingdom fruitfulness? What does that even mean, right? When Jesus came to the earth, he said, repent, which just means change your mind. Sounds like a scary, repent, for the day of the Lord is here. You know, it kind of scares me when I hear the word repent. It just means change your mind. He came to his people. He said, change your mind. He said, the royal kingship power of the creator God of the universe is here. Now, in English, it's not quite as exciting as my Greek. In English, it says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. But the Greek really means change your mind. The royal kingship power of the creator of God of all galaxies and every universe has drawn near to us like a kiss. Oh, Greek is so beautiful. God, the infinite God, actually knows you and cares and is drawing near to you for intimacy. That different way of thinking that Jesus preached was the kingdom of God. And it wasn't about setting up shop here in Israel at the time and ruling until he died and killing off Romans. It was about invading our lives with the love and presence of God and us just the overflow of that changing the world around us. So when we talk about the kingdom, that's what we're talking about. Okay? Say the kingdom's good. The king is good. And you can say I'm his son or I'm his daughter. So fruitfulness really just means productive, okay? You can think of it as literal fruit. This week, my daughter came to me. We've been telling her all these years her favorite vegetable is cucumber. She said, Daddy, Mrs. Richmond, that's the name of her teacher, Mrs. Richmond taught me because the cucumber has seeds in it, it is a fruit. I was like, okay. I said, technically, the cucumber is a fruit, but culturally, when you order it in this community, people probably think of it as a vegetable. And she looked at me and she was like, okay, then it's a vegetable. I said, good. So fruitfulness, you can think of cucumbers if you like. You can think of something growing, right? It just means productive. It means successful. So last week, Pastor talked to us about our identity in God, our destiny that he's called us to, that he's planned and designed for us since the beginning of time. How can we be successful at that? How can we be successful in our kingdom identity? This kingdom where the living God cares about little old me and little old you. So that's what we're talking about today. Today we're going to join a story of a man in the Old Testament who really is quite extraordinary. At the top of your page here, you can see this verse in Exodus. Many of you are probably familiar with the life of Moses. At one point, God speaks to Moses and says to him, from a burning bush that did not burn to the ground, it just stayed aflame. It drew Moses over. He was in the desert, and he was, you know, all of a sudden he realized he's on holy ground. He's speaking to the living God. And God is calling him into his destiny. And Moses says to him, if I come to the people of Israel, say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and then they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Amen. Amen. God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. there is sounds like a karate chop. Hiya! The Hebrew word hiya is I am. I listened to it three times. I was like, did he really just say hiya? The Hebrew word, Strong's 346, hiya. I was like, oh, cool, hiya. Tell him hiya sent you. How many of you know we're not stuffy in this church? We like to have a little fun. All right, so how can we be successful? Well, we're successful in our life calling, in our destiny, by changing our minds. The problem is you were born in the 20th or 21st century. Problem is you're in a results-obsessed culture. The problem is, the Lord forgives you for this, but you're American. So you're all tied up in capitalism and success. And you don't probably know that we are being invited into letting go of judging ourselves, letting go into judging our life. Because success begins with a different way of thinking. Point number one, fruitfulness, success. Fruitfulness comes through suffering. Oh, man. I will not be offended if you want to leave at this point. The next few points don't get much better. Fruitfulness comes through suffering. See, God's people were living in Egypt. And at first, they were living under the protection of the king, of the Pharaoh of Egypt, because of a relationship that Pharaoh had with one of their patriarchs, one of their fathers and their people, which was Joseph. Joseph had risen high up in the ranks, second in command only to Pharaoh. But it says that over the generations, over the years, a Pharaoh came to power who didn't know Joseph. You know, over time, people stop remembering their history. It's dangerous. And so as this Pharaoh didn't really care or know who Joseph was, the Israelites, who were shepherds and agricultural people living outside of town, Egypt was a city. Egypt was a big, beautiful city, maybe the largest city in the world at the time. Cairo, Pithom, all these different places were being built, right? And here you had these Israelites on the outskirts of town. How many of you know that if you need to run a farm, you probably need a few kids? In the good old days, people had 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 kids. Because these are all helpers, man. my kids are 9. I think we're just now being like, hey, why don't you vacuum this? Or why don't you clean this, sink? Back then, we're probably 2 saying, here, stir this, People, the Israelites were multiplying faster than the Egyptians at the time. They were agricultural. They're living outside of town, all right? They needed help on the farm. And then the city folk were having their 1 or 2 kids, This is Ramses. This is Ramsiette. And here's a little house in the city, okay? So in all sincerity, the Israelites grew faster than the Egyptians. And at one point, the Pharaoh became a little intimidated. He was seeing their size, their strength, and he said, if we ever get attacked, these Israelites could join our enemies and be against us and help us lose. They could have all of our land at that point instead of just being on the outskirts. So he put harsh taskmasters over them and actually began enforcing labor upon them as payment for them living in that area. And really, they became slaves to Pharaoh. So in this time, again, in suffering, guess what happened? They kept multiplying. In their suffering, they kept multiplying. One of the worst things that can ever happen to you is prosperity. We're changing our minds today. Because when we have every kind of food we could want, and, I'm a little warm, I think I'm going to turn down the air conditioning, or I'm a little cold, I'm going to turn up the heat, and I don't want to wear blue, I want to wear black, I want my screen to be yellow, not red, right? You can customize your whole world, do whatever you want. That prosperity actually weakens us. They say necessity is the mother of all invention. I've been making a joke for the last few years. I bet some kid in Africa or in India, some impoverished place, will figure out some genius way to break through, all cancer. They'll be like, I think we could do this. Because they're in this melting pot, this voracious heat of suffering where they're pushed so hard to try to figure out a way. So the first thing is, there's parts of your life that you have deemed bad. Okay, this word judge, It's not some, you know, gavel, right? You've made an assessment. You've made a belief. Oh, that was a horrible job. Was it? That was a horrible marriage. Well, probably was. But was God using it to create something in you? Through that suffering, was God building you? So we could look back on it and say, maybe, well, I really didn't like it at the time, but that was the best job of my life. And I'm so glad it's over. But it prepared me. Best marriage ever, in quotes, you know? Right? Because we can change our mindset and say, wait a minute. I can be brought into my destiny. I can be brought into success in my life through suffering. And so, personally, I shy away from suffering. And we need to ask ourselves, what is God taking us through that actually is part of his success in our life? Flip the script. Flip the script. Doubt your doubts. Criticize your criticisms. Flip them on their head. Say, you know what? Me looking for this new job, me waiting for a place that would actually honor my skill set and give me a living wage, as much as I hated it, was part of this preparation for me, this suffering that God made out of me. So the Israelites are in suffering. They're in bondage. Now the Pharaoh sees that they're still multiplying, and he goes, well, I don't want more guys. 20 years from now, I don't want a bunch of strong, able-bodied, you know, slaves are working all day, right? The cushy city people are probably like me, you know, sitting at the desk all day, right? So the Israelites are buffed. You ever see my brother, my friend Tom, who's a Welsh farmer? He's not even trying. He's just like big. You just lift. One day, you know, Emmy said, what did you do today? He goes, well, I was lifting sheep up and doing this and then lifting another sheep up. Yeah, do that for 10 hours. Lift a 60-pound animal up and do this for 10 hours. You got some arms. You know, here you got to go to like CrossFit and run 5Ks and do all this stuff just to get halfway there. He's just working, getting it done all day. So Pharaoh said, yeah, I don't want a bunch of buffed Israelites 20 years from now. So he says, tells the midwives, I want you to kill all the male children when they're born. Let the female children live. That's fine. Man, the story is getting worse. I thought this was about success, Nick. I thought you could talk to us about how we can be successful in our destiny today. I am. So in this suffering, God's people are being made, right? One slave woman gives birth to a son, and she disobeys. She hides him for 3 months. So she doesn't kill him when he's first born. She names him Moshe, which means drawn out. Moses is what we call it in English. And at 3 months old, he's getting too big to hide from the guards walking by her little tent at night. So she puts Moshe in the river in this basket, a basket that would float, that she created. And she tells her daughter to go look and watch what happens. And it goes down the river, and the Pharaoh, the king's daughter, is down at the river bathing and sees this little baby. She's probably completely clueless that her dad has all the boys killed. This probably isn't like public knowledge, right? She's in her own little world. She's living in the palace. She has no idea what the slaves are doing. She has no idea all the boys are being killed. She has no idea what this boy's in the river. She goes, oh my gosh, well, they didn't want this boy. Can I keep him? You ever had a kid? Daddy, can I keep him? We went, this Friday, we went up to Springs Folk Festival, and they had a sign, free puppies. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. Yeah, real free. Once you get home and do the shots and buy them food, and the kids don't remember to walk them anymore. Yeah, real free, yeah. Right? So Pharaoh's daughter says, Dad, look, a free baby. Can I keep him? He's like, oh, God. He understands why the baby's in the river. You know, he understands the whole story. He goes, oh, sure. What's he doing in the river? Don't tell her. Don't. So here you have God's people fully aware of this fact because the daughter saw it. She goes back and reports, guess what? Guess what, you guys? Maybe our suffering's over. Pharaoh is raising so-and-so's son. And our brains start putting together. I bet the way God's going to do this is this and that and this and that and that and this and this and that. That's how God's going to do it. And we start piecing together. Oh, I bet if I leave this job and leave this marriage, I'm going to feel so much better. I'm going to get this better car. I'm going to drive over there, get a bigger house, and I'll be so happy. And God just doesn't like to do it the way that we think. Fruitfulness starts with suffering. Starts with suffering. So God's people, things are not going well. What if you judge, and the bottom of point one there, what if you judge as opposition or suffering that may actually be something that God wants to make you in? I have something at work I'm working on right now. It's very challenging. I'm very angry about it most days. It stresses me out. And because I had to prepare this message for you, I had to start by living it out. So I said, God, thank you for this challenge. See, I'm so grateful. Thank you for this hardship in my life. Ding! But in all sincerity, when I said that out loud, I felt a little better. I was like, oh, okay. Tomorrow, note to self, Siri, remind you, thank God for this hardship. We can start to think this way. Number two, fruitfulness comes through failure. Oh, I hate this message. Fruitfulness comes through failure. That little boy grows up. And again, you're thinking, okay, here's how God's going to do it, right? One of God's people is being raised in Pharaoh's household. That's how we're going to get freed. That's how the Israelites are going to get freed from slavery. Moses is going to free us, right? His name drawn out, Moshe, it actually has the implication of deliverance. When you draw something out, you save it from the water. Isn't that amazing? So they knew he's the deliverer, right? You go home, you look up what your name means. Because inside of that, there's destiny of how God has planned for you. It's been spoken over you your whole life. Even when you didn't realize it, your name itself. So, Moses grows up with this identity. He knows he's special. He knows he's called to something. And one day he sees some dudes fighting against one of his people. Now, he's kind of grown up Egyptian, but he sees these Israelites being oppressed. And he kills this Egyptian. And kind of goes, oh, crap. Dad's going to be pissed. So he puts him in the ground, buries him in the sand. And he's thinking, these Israelites, they're going to thank me. They're going to be real pleased, right? No. The next day, they're arguing and talking, and they say, what are you? You think you're going to be our deliverer? And he's thinking, hey, where's the gratitude for killing that guy yesterday, right? All of a sudden, now it's a known thing. People know that he killed an Egyptian. He's dead meat. Pharaoh is his step-granddad, because he was being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh, the step-granddad, there's no mercy for that. He'll be killed. So Moses leaves town. He has to leave everything he knows. This doesn't sound like a great story so far to me. Anyone have a life that can relate? I thought mom and dad were going to stick together. I thought I was going to eat 3 meals every day. I thought I was going to meet someone nice who didn't abuse me. I thought I was going to go to school, learn some great things. Oh, if that happened to you, great. God bless you. A lot of us didn't have it that way. Hard things started happening, right? Started breaking us down. Most preachers would say that the personal failure of Moses here is that he tries to enable or enact his destiny in his own strength by killing this Egyptian. But I would argue, actually, that the real sin here is that Moses kills and buries one Egyptian when God wanted to kill and bury the entire Egyptian army. See, you think your teeny little box. Oh, I'm called to be this. That's so great. Thank you, Lord. We have a God who dreams bigger than us, right? The failure wasn't, Moses went out there and helped one or two people. And God wanted to save all of them. Where have you been thinking too small in your life? Maybe your job, maybe your career, maybe what you think was success, that the society tells you was success, that money tells you was success. Everyone praises you for, oh, great job. And maybe God's like, hey, but I spoke to you. I told you you were going to be this. And you're like, I am this, Lord. No, this. I am this, Lord. So God has to let failure work its way through our lives. You know what failure is? Failure is successful research at what doesn't work. You're a smashing success. You just failed. We could just cheer it on and go, woo! You just figured out one of the ways not to do that. Good job, man. I'm proud of you. Your friends will be like, what's your problem? You're like, let's go get a pint. Let's go celebrate. They're like, are you serious? I just lost my job. You're like, I know, but you figured out how not to be at work. This was great. And they're just like, I don't know about you. Flip the script, my friends. Fruitfulness comes through failure. We don't need to be afraid of it. We can embrace it. What have you been judging? What have you been assessing in your own life or your loved life around you, a friend or loved one, as failure? Oh, they failed me. Did they? Maybe they helped prepare you. I'm just offending the brain good today.
Dear Nick, this is your brain. Please stop being so mean. The brain.
There's things that we think are success in our life that are probably utter failures. Right? The society says, be this. I saw something funny this week on Instagram. It said, can we please stop making idiots famous? You think about great people. No one knows their name, you know. What was success? Oh, having 1 million followers is success? Okay. You go chase that down. See how that works out for you. Write me a postcard. Let me know. Really? Oh, you don't own a home? You're still renting? You're a failure. Oh, you're divorced? You're a failure. Oh, you're homeless? You're a failure. Oh, you don't have a job? You're a failure. Shut up! That critical voice, when someone else has it in their mouth, it will never affect you if you've eradicated it from your soul. Start with you. Start with you. Get it out. I'm not going to judge myself. I'm not going to criticize myself. I'm not going to assess what was right or wrong. Let it go. Get it out. I was being prepared. I found a really great way not to be married. Successful research at how not to do something. All right? Point number three. Fruitfulness comes through detours. This message. Fruitfulness comes through detours. Now, I've got a small 36-year-old brain. I would think that if the living God wanted to redeem and like free his people, he would trick the daughter into keeping the puppy, who's actually a little boy, and raising it under Pharaoh's roof. And then someday, that boy would say to his step-grandfather, hey, the way you're treating these people is horrible. And step-granddad would go, yo, you're so right, forgive me. And from the inside, a political job, Moses would be the new second in command, and God's people would be free.
Then we're going to get a better house, and then we're going to get a better job, and then we're...
No, it doesn't work like that. There's a detour. There's a detour. There's orange cones. There's red lights. You're going, oh, I'm going to be late. Yeah, you're going to be late. You're going to be late, man. You're going to be late for your destiny. Moses leaves Egypt, a total failure. He's out in the desert. He meets some pretty girls who are watering some sheep. He helps them. They go back to their dad and say, we saw a cool guy out there. He helped us water our sheep. The dad was like, why didn't you invite him in? They're like, oh, good idea. Because you're in the middle of nowhere and you have 7 daughters. You're like, eligible bachelor, go, go, go. Go back, find the man. So they go back. Luckily, Moses is still there. You know, the 7 girls are like, hey, we were wondering, like, we talked to our dad, and do you want to come for dinner?
Moses is like, sure.
Because he's in the middle of nowhere. He's like, well, I guess I could probably go to, yeah, that sounds great. So Moses goes back to the house. Moses meets his father-in-law, who tells him, have one of my daughters as your spouse and stay here forever. And he's like, sounds great, because my last family just didn't really work out. All right. So let's just say Moses is somewhere between 15 and 30 at that point, right? He's old enough to kill a man and bury him. So some 15 or 30-year-old is getting married, and he's out in the desert in the middle of nowhere for 40 years. Remember that destiny? Remember that calling? Remember what your name meant? Yeah, it's all gone. That's how you think about it. Oh, I've been divorced. Ah, I'm unemployed. Ah, I'm homeless. I'm still renting. I got to get my crap together before I could do that. Oh, really? What you think was a detour, God was like, I'm making preparation. I'm making preparation. You're the one that I'm preparing. You're the one that I'm preparing. I'm making preparation. I'm making. Sing with me now. You're the one that I'm preparing. You're the one that I'm preparing. See, it's a good song. Can you write that, Pastor? Okay. You think it's a detour. You think that divorce was a detour. You think that losing your job was a detour. You thought your homelessness was a detour. I'm here to tell you the living God only builds bridges, my friend. You got to change your mindset. Let it go. Stop judging it as a detour. Stop judging it as a failure. Stop judging it as suffering and say, oh, he's making me. Oh, he's preparing me. Oh, he's showing me how not to do it. Oh, he's leading me a different way. Because God wanted the glory for redeeming his people out of Pharaoh's grasp. And one day to get Moses' attention, he lights a bush on fire in the middle of nowhere. And Moses walks over this thing and all of a sudden realizes this isn't just a natural phenomenon, some spiritual thing happening. And he takes his shoes off and he starts talking to the living God. way back in Genesis, God had revealed himself as Yahweh. Yahweh comes from my new favorite Hebrew word, Hayah, which means to be and to become. When he said, I am that I am, he said, Hayah, Hayah. I am, which in Hebrew, when you repeat something, it's like underlining it or bolding it. They didn't have a good Microsoft Word version back then. So you just had to repeat things. Hayya, hayya. The existing one spoke to you. Oh, that's the word that Yahweh comes from. The most used name of God over 6,000 times in the Old Testament is Yahweh. That's why Pastor sang Yahweh at the top of his lungs this morning. Preparing your hearts for this moment. Because the most important thing we're going to talk about today is what Yahweh means. The fourth point, your extra credit. Fruitfulness comes from the becoming one. Fruitfulness comes from the becoming one. You see, you can't actually know who God is in a finite tense with a period on the sentence because he's bigger than you can fathom. You can only slowly be revealed who he is. It isn't just that I am, it's that I've been, it's that I will be, that I'm becoming. The name of God is a verb. How cool is that? The name of God is a verb. I am whatever you're going to need. God always wants to be to you whatever your particular need is. Be. I am your peace. I am your strength. I am your help. I am your guide. But how are you going to know him as your peace unless your mind is troubled? Unless your heart feels depression and anxiety? Unless you want to take your life? And he invades and he shows himself to you and he reveals himself to you and says, I am your peace. So that hardship was a doorway, it was a window, it was an opportunity for you to know God in a new way. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. All of that garbage you went through was blessing. It was invitation for you to know God in a new way. Circle back to my office this week when I just wanted to yell at everybody because this thing that I'm doing in my office that's stressing me out. And I said, thank you for showing yourself to me as the one who is going to overcome this problem. I said that by faith because he hasn't done it yet. I'm still in the making part, not my favorite part. What did God become to Moses? What did the becoming one become to Moses? I went through a brief little part of Exodus. This is just one book of the Bible of who God became to his people. You ready for this? He became the God who sees us and knows our suffering. He became the God who speaks to us, who is not silent. He became the God who dreams bigger than we imagined. He became the God who does miraculous signs. He became the God who guides us strategically. He became the God who promises deliverance. Freedom. He became the God who leads kings to do his will. He became the God who gives us plunder. He became the God who leads us by strategy, who crushes our enemies, who fights for us, who proves himself, who makes bitter things sweet, who heals us, who provides day by day by day, who always makes a way, who rallies for our victory, who converts seeking hearts, who brings us order in the chaos. But you could never know him in that unless you were alone in the desert going through hard times, saying, where are you? I am right now with you. How could Moses have known he was the God who speaks to us in the wild, who teaches us wisdom, who makes restitution, the God who stands for social justice? The God who invites us to rest, the God who guards our life, the God who blesses our obedience, the God who makes his glory known, the God who designs using priceless treasure, the God who sets us apart, the God who meets with us as a friend, the God who renews covenant with us, the God who shines upon us, the God who partners with us to create, and the God who dwells with us in all of his glory. You can't know who God is until you have these doorways, these windows into the becoming one. Who is God becoming to you right now? Who do you need him to become?
I need you to become to me the one who gives me a job. I need you to become to me the one who redeems this marriage. I need you to become to me the one who gives me peace from this anxiety. I need you to become to me the one who takes away these thoughts.
You see, we were made in his image. If he is the becoming one, then our life isn't about results. We too are becoming ones. What are you becoming? Your conclusion here. Fruitfulness comes from becoming. Fruitfulness comes from the process. The process, the process, the process. Forsake results. I forsake my Americanism. I forsake 21st century technology. And I focus in on the process because I am becoming something, God, as I wait for this new job. I'm becoming something, God, as I wait for you to show up and give me the person that I need to meet. I'm becoming like you. I'm seeing who you are and I'm becoming. 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, since we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, their minds were hardened. Every day that the old covenant was spoken, their veil remains unlifted because only Christ can take away all of that law. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil is over their hearts. But when turns to the Lord, the veil's removed. The judgment, the criticism of the law, it all melts away when we come to Jesus. Oh, and we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another of glory to another. Process, 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 process. Forsake results this week. Forsake judging the failures and suffering and detours of your life. Look at the hard things and say, God, who do you want to become to me in this? The God who... fill in the blank. Speak it out over your problems. Praise him through it. And then look at yourself. Ask a trusted loved one. We need someone who can kind of mirror to us what we've been going through. Give us the gift of interpretation. It's hard for us to see our lives from inside of it. Go to someone you love and trust and say, what do you see right now? Who am I becoming? Their answer may surprise you. Oh, who am I becoming right now? Let's stand together. Yahweh, living God, becoming one, I ask you to reveal yourself, as I know you will, every heart in this place, as what they need this week, as what they need today, for you to reveal yourself to them as that, the God who. Oh, one of the worst lies ever told you was God helps those who help themselves. This is the sound of me vomiting that out. Ugh! It's disgusting. You can pray like it all depends on God, and you can work like it depends on you. There's a balance in that, but I'm telling you, the name of God is a verb. Whatever BS religion told you that God is some impotent fool, some old man in heaven waiting for you to take control of your life, I reject in Jesus' name. The living God wants to prove himself to you today, the becoming one. Make us like you, Lord. Make us like you. Friends, if you're going to be praying, please come up. Make us like you. Show us how we're becoming. Show us the success is in the process, God. Help us wash away all of this results obsession and let us fall in love with the process of becoming more and more like you. Friends, if you want to talk about this message, if you want to come and give your life to Jesus or back to Jesus for the first time, if you realize you want to walk out of religion and all that garbage and talk to the God whose name is a verb, come up here. Come pray with us. We speak blessing over this house, blessing over every heart here. Lord, thank you for these massive winners. Thank you for these massive successes here today. We just thank you, Jesus, for your grace over their week. In Jesus' name, amen.